The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Mutton Recap News on Tuesday, the 10th of June, 2025. 10th of June, why does that date ring a bell? Oh yes, my wife's birthday. Oh, my wife's birthday. No, I haven't forgotten. Of course, I bought in more stuff this year than I've ever bought her, actually. Only small bits and pieces, but stuff, you know, with a bit of thought into it, you know? And that's why I went to Asda a couple of hours before. No, only kidding. I realised yesterday I forgot to do the markets, so let's do the markets here straight away, okay? Amolshay, right, I'm going to start off with that. It's now at 767. It's up close to half of 1% day. Now, the Amolshay, it's undergone phenomenal bounce. I say bounce, it could be a sustained rally, I don't know. But it's risen, over the last 42 days, it's risen 34 of those days. And from April 25th, it experienced 15 positive days in a row. It's now 22.5% up from the low on the 8th of April. There's something happening here, isn't there? I think it is interest rates coming down. I think China and US will sort out a trade deal. I didn't realise this. Do you know exports from China to the US account for 3% of Chinese GDP? That's it. 3%. Having said that, it does account for like 18% of their exports. So it's quite a big deal there. But it's only 3% of GDP, you know, Chinese GDP. But nevertheless, there's going to be some kind of outcome there that's going to be worked out sooner or later. It's happening in London, of course. Top Chinese and US delegations chatting. I think Lancaster House. Anyway, so that's the Amolshay doing very well. And you can see lots of small companies, crap ones as well, having a bounce. Now, the thing is with this, is when markets go up, you can tend to be a little less disciplined and just pick any old stock. That's the worry, and you start diluting yourself too much. And then what happens is, because you see these stocks that are rallying quite strongly, you dilute yourself into suboptimal, you know, investment opportunities. They're pop and drop stocks, and that will damage your overall portfolio. Honestly, I did it in the last sort of bull market. I got quite a bit ill-disciplined buying anything that sort of rose. And let's be honest, that, you know, from 2009 pretty much to 2020, it was an exceptional circumstance where interest rates were the lowest they've ever been, for the longest they've ever been. So, of course, any old trash could get, you know, equity fundraisers away. But I think we're at the start of something here. It's seeming more positive by the moment. The FTSE 100, by the way, is right now, as I'm looking, up a half of 1%, all-time high. Something's happening, isn't it? Something's going on, positive. And like I said, you know, the most positive thing to markets is interest rates coming down. There's job figures out today, it's not very good. And wages, which the Bank of England look at, we'll look at that as well. That's coming down. So that's good news. Anyway, let's look through the rest of the market here. So the AIM All Share is up there, 0.5%, FTSE 100, 0.5%, 8,879. It last closed, last high, 8,808. So it's 70 points above that. Looking good. Thank you very much. FTSE 250, up 0.7%, 21,436. The FTSE, what do we get? Fledgling? I don't know what that is. That's up as well, at 31%. And the FTSE small cap, up 31% as well. Let's look at commodities. Now, oil has been up the last four sessions to $67.15 a barrel. And it's not a bad thing. It's not good for inflation, but the reason why sort of oil rolled over, I think, is worry about, you know, global recession happening. And this may be just a bounce, but you do see, need to see a bit of a buoyant. I mean, it needs to be between, you know, less than 80, above 60 to get production on. And so, you know, so that's incentivized production, I suppose. But you don't want to go a lot above 80, because that's where it creates real problems. What else we got here? Gold. It's up again, gold. Well, a little bit. It's up 0.2%, 0.1%, to $3,360 an ounce. Copper, it's down 0.6%, but it's present, you know, it's in this range pretty much between the high and the low of the year at $10,784 a ton. What else is there? Also, we've got Bitcoin. Oh, it's trying to break, what's 109,000. It did touch 110,000 last night. What else is there? Government bonds, it's down. The two-year yield for government bonds is down 2%, 3.9. The 10-year is down 1.7 to 4.5. And the 30-year is down 1.37 to 5.24. A pound will buy you €1.18. It'll buy you $1.35. Anything else? No, that's done. That's pretty much there, isn't it? So macro news. I did say I've changed the name of the podcast, and I have, but it's going to touch on some macro news if it's relevant, I believe. So I won't be doing a lot. But first and foremost, the government has committed $14.2 billion of investment to build Sizewell C on the Suffolk coast. Chancellor Rachel Reeves earlier welcomed a new area in nuclear power in Britain, with Sizewell creating enough energy for 6 million homes. I'm trying to get her voice down. Wasn't that good? The government is also investing in small modular reactors with $2.5 billion for a program. I don't understand why they just don't go with those. These huge, you know, nuclear plants take 20 odd years to build, pretty much. I mean, the one in there, where is it? Not Hinkley, is it? Yeah, in Somerset. Still isn't online. It's like, they're too big. They're too big. These small modular reactors, you can get them up in no time. Rolls-Royce is, by the way, the company has won this contract, and what a tear that's been on. But the small modular reactors is the thing, I think, isn't it? Because, okay, they're a quarter the size and a quarter of the output, but they take about a quarter of the time. And you could put loads of those around, you know, wherever you wanted to. And all this is about is energy. It's a fascinating podcast I listened to a while back. Marion Talks Money on Bloomberg. It's worth looking up. And it was about this guy talking about the most productive countries in the world. And he looked at when countries have expanded their economy. And it was largely came down to one thing: energy costs. And he went into a lot of detail. And it sort of convinced me. But it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If you have high energy costs, you know, every business uses energy. That's your base cost. You can't do anything without energy. Now, if the energy price is high in your country, of course it's going to constrict any kind of investment, any kind of expansion, because they're limited in what they can do. So if you can get the energy bills right down, then it's no longer an issue. That's one cost out the way. And so that's what we need to do. And of course, nuclear is 24/7 baseload power. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'm a fan of solar and wind. But let's be honest, they have their limitations. The old cliche, when the sun doesn't shine and wind doesn't blow, they're useless unless you build, again, massive long-duration storage which is not cheap. So the efficiency in solar panels is about 20 to 25%. So you lose three quarters to four fifths of the energy, which it is nuts, really. You can see, you know, you want something super efficient. Of course, nuclear is, and it's carbon free. And so it is the way forward. Just build these, you know, small modular reactors, one down the bottom of every road. Or you get the stage with the tiny little ones where everyone can have one in their shed or whatever, you know. Better than solar panels. But yeah, I can't understand the people against this, really. It's crazy. So that's good. Anyway, so they're gonna do, that's it. They reckon the construction of the plant alone in Sizewell C will create 10,000 jobs. Now, keep these figures in mind, okay? 10,000 jobs, according to the Treasury. Thousands more expected to be created in firms supplying the plant. Once operational, Sizewell C is expected to employ 900 people. Okay, so it's all good. You know, Labour now seem to be getting the idea, and I think I did say a while back on the podcast that they messed up massively at the start. And now they're sort of, you know, realising because their ratings are so far down, they're so unpopular, they've had they've done a U-turn on the winter fuel bills for old people. But now they now realise the plans they put in originally did not stimulate growth whatsoever. So there's another bit of news out today. UK firms hold off on hiring as job vacancies fall. UK companies are not hiring and not replacing workers who leave, sending job vacancies tumbling, official figures suggest. The number of available jobs fell by 63,000 between March and May, while the unemployment rate ticked higher. So even to create and build, Sizewell C is 10,000 jobs. Between March and May, available jobs fell by 63,000, more than six times more. The figures also showed that the employment rate rose from 4.5 to 4.6%, the highest in almost 4 years, and could rise higher, which drove me nuts. It's like, Rachel Reeves, she's sort of getting it. I hope that she's getting it. But when you tax business, like anything, you raise the cost of business, like raising energy prices. Of course they're going to employ less people. Of course they're not going to expand as fast. They're not going to invest as much. What do you expect? They're laying people, you're not going to get growth. That's an anti-growth policy. Absolutely was an anti-growth policy. You'd be better off not doing that and putting a penny on income tax across the entire board because you could have the power of numbers there. A lot more people paying income tax than businesses. So she hit businesses very hard and they're suffering. And, you know, so maybe in the longer term, it's going to pay off these big infrastructure projects. But short term, we're going to go through, you know, a sticky patch. And in fact, just looking at the calendar today and looking at the wages, this is a bit of good news. So what that does, if you know, people are finding it hard to find jobs and people are laying people off, of course, you know, you can't really ask for your wages to go up faster. But anyway, average earnings for April went up by 5.2%. This is below the forecast of 5.4. The previous was 5.5. So going from 5.5 to 5.2. Which is very good, because that's what the Bank of England looks at in regards to inflation. Because, of course, if people have, you know, wages are rising a lot faster than general level of inflation, people spend more, and that heats up the economy. They shouldn't be worried about tariffs. That's supply side. It's not demand side. It's not, you know, the economy's not overheating because people spend like crazy. So I think interest rates will come down. They're a good idea. By the way, of course, it's nuclear. It's not only about securing energy and trying to get the costs down. There's also a demand of energy will be rocketing over the next 5-10 years. Why? Down to AI. AI, I don't know if you're probably aware of this, they also know, apparently an AI search uses 10 times the power of a normal Google search. But in fact now, have you seen a Google, you know, every search you do, they give you an AI answer at the top. So most searches people are doing now is using 10 times as much power. And of course, what's going to power these? Well, if you look at all the big tech companies, from Meta, Amazon, Microsoft doing it. Who else is there? Google, yeah. So Google, Amazon, Facebook and Microsoft have all struck deals with nuclear power stations because they realise that's part of the solution to the power shortfall. So, if you don't, you know, it's hard to pick a winner in the AI race. You know, especially at a lower level, smaller market cap situation, it's hard to pick a winner. But you've got to understand, what's going to be a winner is energy. And nuclear will be part of the deal. Of course, they use gas and all that stuff and other things, wind, solar, but nuclear is going to have to pick up. And so uranium, it's a supply deficit happening there. It's not easy to open a uranium mine. But if you see now, globally, more and more countries are favouring nuclear. By the way, if you want my my play on this, on the Iranian play, then by all means go to sharepickers.com, click on the About there, and if you fill in, it's I mean, for members, if you're a member listening to this, don't worry, it's on the blog's on my website, so you can see that straight away. But if you want my play for this, then by all means go to sharepickers.com and click on the About bit tab menu at the top right and just fill in your email details and email out a PDF on my investment in this area. Anyway, it's not investment advice, of course, just my play. Could be wrong, but there we go. Anything else on that? No, let's go straight to the microcap database then on my website where I look at all microcap companies. Why? Because they're the best performers of the 3 to 5 years, but you have to be quite specific. Like you get pop and drop stocks. The reason why they pop and drop is they haven't got any asset backing. But I mean, their profits are not going up. They're not generating, you know, increased assets via margin. They're just rallying on news. And that news then dissipates, of course. And then they'll probably have to do a fundraise and they'll come back down. So if you do want to trade stocks and you want to invest in businesses, that's the difference. Don't trade the share price, invest in the business, good businesses. Then it's worth looking at my microcap league. And the hopper for this is the microcap database. So I put everything into there that I can, that I see the RNSs of, you know, microcaps, sub-100 million market caps, and I put them in there, and then I go through them and see if they're eligible for the microcap league. So today we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 companies today announcing bits and pieces. First and foremost, Dials Group. Formerly Driver Group, involved in the provision of specialist dispute avoidance and dispute resolution services to the global construction and engineering industries. Some people call this an ambulance chaser. So market cap 13 million, enterprise value 8.8. That's the last set of final results there. And they had interims out today. Interim results, that's the first 6 months of the financial year. And my take on it is this, they're H1 results showed little improvement on H1 2024. Revenue was flat and profit before tax dropped by 19% to 635K. Net cash also dropped by 34% to 2.37. The board expects the group to deliver full-year results in line with market expectations. Full-year results showed no top-line growth and a small net profit of 700K. At 25 pence a share, this was put on a PE of 19, quite high for a company lacking in material revenue growth. The SP has rallied off recent lows. Fundamentally, I think it's more than up with events. So, in my mind, it's not a compelling investment. Dial it down. I'm going to include Filtronic because this was on the microcap league and it's gone on to prove the case. You know, it's gone above that. It's now, what, a 285 million market cap. Or close to 300 now, by the way, today's rally. But they announced today, and their, what was it, largest contract award to date with SpaceX. They said the board is now confident the company will exceed current revenue expectations for 2026. Now, if you notice there, they say current revenue expectations. The brokers have not adjusted anything else. So, as I mentioned below, as my comments below, I won't read this up for members only, FTC's valuation was a little stretched based on 2026's current numbers prior to this contract because their full year 25 has been a superb year for them. Absolutely superb. However, I did say in my last comment, they can also win new contracts, which They have, and this is the biggest contract to date from SpaceX, the company states that magical phrase, exceed current revenue expectations. In fact, the best version of that is materially or significantly exceed revenue and profits. So it's not the best you can get, but it's still very good. The broker has upgraded revenue from to 54 million from 50, but have kept EBITDA the same due to some additional upfront operational costs relating to new business wins that have been announced in the recent weeks and development of technology roadmap. They've also reduced year-end net cash forecast from 16.7 to 12.1. So revenue's gone up, profits haven't. On current 2026 forecasts, now remember why we're looking at 26 is because their year-end is May for 25. So the 2025 year has ended now. Okay, they're now in their financial year 26. Now, revenue is expected to be flat and net profit will drop by 45%, putting them on a PE of 40 at 130 a share. Not cheap, but again, they could still win more contracts, so valuation could improve. But it's a phenomenal year in 2025. 26 is looking okay. It's on par with it, but profit drops. For last year, for this, they expected to do 12.9 million of net profit for 25, and that drops to 7 million. So, I still believe the best time to invest in this company was when they announced significantly ahead of expectations, and that was back in April 24. So it's always worth keeping an eye out for these kind of companies with their own IPR, basically intellectual property. Because if they have some special times, you'll see the revenue tick up when they get some big contracts and they have growth that blows out the water. But like I said, they could win more contracts. But at the moment, this is not the time to get in my mind. Next, Ixeko, a global leader in neuroscience imaging and biomarker analytics using its proprietary AI-driven platform to help advance the treatment of neurological disorders, reduce the uncertainties. Now, they came out today, FDA clearance of Alzheimer's diagnostic biomarker. What does that say to you? FDA clearance of Alzheimer's diagnostic biomarker. I think, wow, that's amazing. That's good. They've got Ixeko have got FDA clearance, right? And the share price has rallied strongly. Ixeko, IXI's ticker. Let's see where it is at the moment. It's still up 10%. So it's rallied strongly, right? And I think that's phenomenal. What about they're only a market cap of 10 million, pretty much. But they've got a decent chunk of cash. So market cap of 10 million. And I thought this announcement was slightly misleading. I found it misleading. IXI, or Ixeko, has not received FDA clearance for its Alzheimer's disease blood-based diagnostic marker. I said, don't do that. IXI carried out the imaging analysis for a client called Fujirebio, who received the FDA clearance. Therefore, this news means there's probably reputational benefit, of course, for Ixeko. I mean, it could lead to more clients, but I doubt whether there's any direct financial benefit because as a client, they pay for the services. As yet, when I last looked, there was no broker note on this. Let me just check once more. Thank you for bearing with me, caller. Please bear with me, caller. Please bear with me. Oh, my internet's taking a long time. I got rubbish internet here. We moved to this house. It's a fabulous house. An excellent upgrade from the last house. But the one thing that's gone down, which you can't do a lot about, is the internet. I've gone from 60 megabytes. No, 60, yeah, is it 60 megabytes a second download? To like half that. And it's so annoying. And we've got more sort of devices in this house now. There's no material thing here. I talking about their last set of results, they're expected to report flat revenue for 25, along with a loss before tax of 2 million, which is similar to 24. As yet, there's no growth or real improvement here. On a positive note, they do have 5 million in cash, having conducted an equity fundraise in October 24. So they may be funded to profitability, but brokers only have 1 year forecast, and that is loss making. So, in my mind, it's still a story stock. And like I say, I believe this RNS was slightly misleading. Next, Surface Transforms. SCE is ticker. They develop and produce carbon ceramic material automotive disc brakes. They're high-end kind of things. They got a 17 million market cap. They came up with full year results today. And full year results today. Top line up 13% to 8.2 million. Sounds okay so far, doesn't it? Double digit. Loss before tax, 23.8 million, up 15%. They've got net debt of 4.9 million, 5 million, excuse me, call it that. And this was last year, 5.4 million net cash. So pretty much they lost 10 million in cash there. Free cash flow, free cash outflow of 18.1 million. My comments on this are, in SCE's going concern statement, the company state there exists a material uncertainty that may cast significant doubt over the company's ability to continue as a going concern. Yeah, you say that again. Now, SCE has recently undergone what I call a near-death relief rally. To explain, it looked like it was going bust, then had the possibility of a funding lifeline thrown to it, so it rallied. People jumped in on the trade, and as most people already sold, because it looked like it was going bust, and this stock has taken a hammering, absolute hammering, over the last few years, there weren't many sellers left. So what you got is just, you know, a load of buyers, and that because it went down to, it was something like, was it 2 million market caps and that? And so there's only buyers. People started buying, jumping on the trade, momentum. And now this often happens on companies that nearly go bust, and then they look like they will get a last-minute reprieve. It's a very risky trade, as some do companies, of course, do go bust. Now, with SEC, any short-term cash injection won't fix the business model. I suspect they will need to raise money again, and the rally will fade out sooner or later. Now, they are a high cash burn, you know, company, really have been. I think they've raised and lost about 50 million. Obviously, if they fail to raise money, it will go bust. And there's a chance this will happen. I can't see them getting out of this, really. I don't know why someone would stump up the money for this company. It's been a serial disappointment there. Next, Vionet. They are established itself. Oh, this is a very complex description of the company, this. Has established itself as an industry leader with its award-winning proprietary suite of solutions. Our offerings encompass telemetry, connectivity, payment solutions, inventory management, ERP software platforms, energy saving solutions, and a comprehensive business insights and market data portal. So we are. But essentially, one of the things they do is unattended vending machines. You know those kind of things? We can pay with card, anything, any kind of vending machine, a lot of those. They do also, they're in hospitality a lot in the UK. Now, they came out with final results today. Let's have a look. Top line, market cap of 21 million? Enterprise value 21, yeah. So top line up by 1%, so flat to 15.2 million. Profit for tax up 18%. To 929K. Sorry, I yawned there. Did you catch that? They've got net debt of 380K. That's 382K. It has improved. It was 1.5 million net debt. And free cash flow, 2.3 million. Pretty much the same as last year, up 2%. Let's scroll down and see what my comments are here. I said, Vionet's full year results show some resilience considering they operate in one of the hardest hit sectors, hospitality. Revenue is largely flat, but net profit increased by 60% on a restated basis to 900K. The net debt position also improved by 75%. I've said that. Looking forward, growth is expected to pick up with the revenue forecast to increase by 10% for 2026 and profit before tax up by 5%. So they have a little bit of growth, but at 75 pence a share, they're on a forecast PE of 25. I do not think it warrants this on this forecasted growth. It's too much. However, the broker hints at more contracts landing. They say, as management announces new contract wins in the coming months, we will introduce financial year 27 forecast. So maybe it's worth watching for these new contracts, see if it improves their growth and evaluation. For me, though, it isn't a compelling investment. Saying that, it may improve as if interest rates come down, hospitality market perks up a bit. But it's so hard in the hospitality sector. You know, everything's gone up. Business rates, national insurance, minimum wage, and you've got low margins, you know, so it's so hard, that sector. And finally, Zinc Media. They're an award-winning, critically acclaimed television and content creation company, earning the trust of TV broadcasters. Market cap is 15 million, enterprise value 12.5, the last set of results. And they've announced today further Middle East growth. They announced a further seven-figure commission for filming and event production in the United Arab Emirates. This is a 10-7-figure project. They say it'll do 10 million revenue over the next 3 years. There's no broker, and there's no figures there. So as yet, the broker's not updated their figures. By the way, for their, or was it the final results recently? Let me just check. Yes, final results recently. The revenue was down by 12% to 32.3. Loss before tax improved by 6% to 1.3 million versus 1.4. They consistently state cash rather than net cash. So they ignore the debt, which is annoying. And also be aware of that. I tell you who did that a lot. It was, I think it was Totally PLC, which has now gone into administration. In the highlights section, of course, they just talk about cash. Now, you can say cash if you have no debt. But if you have debt, then you've got to say what your net cash is. Because, of course, as an example, if you have cash of 2 million, you know, and you have debt of 2 million, then you've got zero. But if you've got cash of like 2 million and net and debt of 3 million, you've got net debt of 1 million. So, I hate that when they be quite opaque with highlights there. Just give you highlights should be realistic, at least. There's a lot of adjustments when they state they are profitable, but on a reported basis, they are not. They are forecast to be an adjusted profit tax of 900K for 2027, although I have no idea whether this is a real profit or adjusted, but it would still put them on a P of 70, not cheap for a company that's consistently posted lackluster results. So I'd say Zinc, put it in the sink. That's it, by the way. Thanks for listening. By all means, if you listen to the podcast and by any value from this, it would help if you did give a review. Just go to Apple Podcasts there and then scroll down to reviews, ratings, and write a review. And if you give me a 5-star written review, I'll give you a book for free. How about that? Just email me, justin@sharepickers.com, if you give me a review, and I will send you a free book. It has to be limited because I don't have many books left. So, in fact, I always like to check my if I've sold any more books on Amazon recently. Oh, yes. 143 now 5-star reviews. By the way, go to sharepickers.com. There's something coming very new. For existing members, the price of membership will not go up. Okay? But as soon as I get this new feature up, I will have to put the price up for new members. But I'll give you a month before I do that. If it happens, it's going to be very exciting. It looks like it's going to happen. I say if it happens. But if it happens, it's going to be very exciting. So go to sharepickers.com. If you want 25% off, then just, you can read it on the website. Just click the book there. You'll find out how. Thanks for listening. Sorry, I've asked you for a lot, haven't I? But if you could give me a written review, that'd be, more people get to listen to it. And rather than just me and you, just talking to each other, it'd be a few more people. You're not talking to me, are you? I'm talking. Anyway, it's an amazing stock market. I look at my stocks then, they're all up pretty much. And you click on it again and half of them are down. But I suppose it's the last trade, isn't it? It's not the actual price. Anyway, thank you very much for listening and speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works. For members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.